You are listening to 91.5 FM. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. It is Brevard County. God is on the throne, and things are looking like a beautiful, beautiful opportunity for us to represent Jesus to those we come in contact with. Hi, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, and we're thankful that you have chosen to tune in to the Refresh Radio program today. We're going to spend the next half hour with you in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. We are believing for great things in your life, great things in our life. We're going to be talking about the greatest commandment today. We're going to begin reading in verse number 28 and read down to verse number 34. I want to take just a moment to invite you out to our services. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship service at 10:30. And we would love if you came and were a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. We would love to be a blessing to you, and we would love to help set you up to be a blessing to others. And so if you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come out and be a part of that. So, Mark chapter 12, verse number 28 is where we're going to begin today. It said, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. We'll just stop the reading there. I don't know that we'll get any further than that today. So, on yesterday's program, we were talking about the greatest commandment, and Jesus answered, because he's the Lord, he is God, he's God all by himself. He's not in any danger of being overthrown. He's not in any danger of becoming irrelevant. He is the expert in every field. And the first step that we need to take in order to fulfill the great commandment is we need to listen. We need to listen as God's covenant people. We need to listen to him as the expert and the voice of greatest influence in our lives. And so if anybody says something that contradicts God or impugns the integrity of God, we need to disregard it. There are some people around the globe that if you say something that they deem insulting to those that they worship, they want to kill you. I will tell you that God has a greatest commandment. There's a day that we're going to have to give an account, but you're free to believe whatever you want to believe, but not every belief is going to give you the same result. Believing in Jesus brings forgiveness of our sins. It brings us salvation. It brings us peace and wholeness in every area of our life. And that's the result that God wants. But we're not up here, you know, to say, you will believe this or we will eliminate you. That's not the voice of Christianity. The voice of Christianity is an invitation. It's an explanation of the greater quality of life that is available in Jesus. I am not here to apologize for being a Christian. I am here to tell you that being a Christian, with Jesus on the throne in my life, brings me the greatest degree of satisfaction this world could ever offer. It offers me peace and blessing and favor that money could never offer, that no other relationship could ever provide. And so if you want to choose a less than desirable path, I don't encourage it. I want to do everything I can to convince you otherwise, but believe what you want. But please understand that there's a day when you are going to have to give an account. And I want you to be able to stand there and say, the reason I am standing here today is because of who Jesus is, what he's done for me in my life. And as a result of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, these are the things that I did for the glory of God. The actions don't earn our salvation. The actions are a result of our salvation, and they're prompted by love for humanity that says we want you to experience the same sort of relationship. So we've talked about the hearing and the exclusivity of God. And verse number 30 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The scripture says that there is one source of love, and that is that it comes from God. God is love. God never confuses love with infatuation. God's love never confuses his love with lust. Though those are counterfeits that the world offers, trying to get it to be a substitute for God's authentic love, because if God is love and he's the only source of love, that means that the only way that we can experience what God wants us to is to have a relationship with him that is manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, the first of which is love. And there are some commentators that when they describe the fruit of the Spirit, they say the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that love breaks down into all of these different areas: patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, joy, all of those sorts of things. So I want you to know that just as God is exclusively sitting on the throne and beside him there is no other, there's no other God, being that is comparable, that deserves to be worshiped, there's certainly no human being, there is certainly no position or title such as judge or governor or president or general speaker of the United Nations. There's no banker. None of those people deserve to sit on the throne. There's only God. And it says that we are to love him, which means that we have to have a relationship with him. We have to be recipients of his love in order to be people who are lovers of God, where we love him unconditionally. We love him above everything else. We love him till our very last breath. We know that he has ordered our steps and directs our paths in righteousness for his name's sake. We know that he's numbered our days, that he's preparing a place for us, that where he is, there we will be also, that is going to endure forever and ever and ever. There's nothing the world can offer us that is greater than that. So what does this unconditional love for God look like? Well, first of all, I will tell you that in this world, it is a very rare thing to find people who love you unconditionally. Very rare. It's not only rare outside of the church. You ask any pastor, you will find that it can be hard to find inside the church. And there'll be people who will tell you they love you, and then you look around and you can't find them. And they say, we're behind you. We're behind you so far that you can't see us with a telescope. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It just doesn't mean that we love the people who look like us. It means that the things that are important to God are important to us. I tell people that unity is not you believing the things that I believe. Unity is not me believing the things that you believe. Unity is when individuals choose to believe what God wants them to believe. That's unity. There may be some points of common ground or common interest that people have, but true biblical unity, true biblical unconditional love, comes when we say, I love God, I love Jesus, I love the people that Jesus loves, therefore I love you, and I'm with you when you are rejoicing, and I am with you when you are grieving, I am with you when you are healthy, I am with you when you are sick, I am with you when you are abounding, and I am with you when you are struggling. Okay? So, I made a statement to my wife. We had our wedding anniversary earlier this month. We've got experience, let's put it that way. And one night we were having a conversation. It was just a conversation. And I made a statement, something like this. I said, I love you, and I am so thankful that you love me. You are the greatest thing that has ever happened to me in my life outside of Jesus becoming my Lord and my Savior. And that's after 39 years. That's experiencing some very difficult roads along the way, where some people, you know, might be born with gold spoons or silver spoons in their mouth. We were lucky we had spoons at times. My wife has a job. She works very, very hard. She's faced some tremendous physical adversity. There's a range of motion restriction that she has in her life because of some of the physical challenges. There's been financial challenges and some ups and downs along the way, with people involved and yet in all of that, there's still the recognition of God placed us together and he's given us a love for one another, not because I'm perfect or not because she's perfect, but because we love him, he's enabled us to love one another where, you know, she's my best friend. I think I'm her best friend. You know, not that we have that conversation a lot, but she will say things like this: don't ever leave me. Don't ever go. And not just say that flippantly, say that from the depth of the heart. And that's the way that we are supposed to love one another. But it's also the way that we are supposed to love God. Loving God is not just one morning a week. You know, it's not from Sunday school at 9:30 and then worship at 10:30 and, you know, for goodness sake, you'd better not go a minute past 12 o'clock. That's not loving God the way that God wants to be loved. He says you should love God with all your heart. Are you all in your love for God? To where that means if somebody says, if you love God or you love me, but we're not going to have both of the situations, that God's the one that rises to the top in that situation. I have a friend, he's been saved for a long time. He he opened up the church the day my wife and I got married. That was the first day that I met him. We'd served in the same ministry area, but that was the first time I had ever met him that I'm aware of. And it was his last official act of the church. He was later going to move to Florida and pastor a church here in Florida. From there, he got promoted and ended up serving in a national office over missionaries to college campuses, missionaries to chaplaincies and missions to inner cities and things like that. Great, great man of God. And it wasn't always that way. He and his wife got married and he was anything but a saint. I know the pastor that led him to the Lord. And he describes the situation. I've read his book and he describes how he was. And in his book, he describes that his wife gave her heart to Jesus and he didn't want to have anything to do with that. And at some point in time, he gave her an ultimatum and said, "You either love me or you love God." And she said, "Well, when you put it in those terms, I'm going to have to choose God." And that was his eye-opening experience. He really thought that the answer was going to be different. And this lady stuck to loving the Lord with all of her heart. And that abandonment to the love of God was what opened this person's eyes. And he too became a lover of Jesus and has been used mightily. Let me rephrase the question. Why would we take a person who gave everything so that our life could be made better, why would we respond with a half-hearted or a lackadaisical approach to loving them? Why would we give so little when Jesus gave his all? It doesn't make any sense. So, church is coming up this weekend. I hope that you will be prepared, that you will be prepared from the time you walk in the door to say, God, you have forgiven me so much. You have done so much for me that I want to lavish my love upon you. There was a woman that invited herself to a dinner that Jesus was at. And this was a woman who had a reputation throughout the community that wasn't a stellar reputation. She was known as a sinner. And the person who had invited Jesus said, if this was a prophet, he'd know what type of woman was, you know, wiping his feet with her hair and with the tears. And Jesus knew what he was thinking. And to make a long story short, he said, there's a lot of things you haven't done for me since I came into my house, or came into your house. I was the honored guest, and you haven't done these things. And this woman has not stopped wiping the dust off of my feet with her hair and shedding tears and anointing. And he said, he who has been forgiven much loves much, but he who forgives, who has been forgiven little, loves little. And I will tell you, there is no such thing as little forgiveness. If you're guilty in one area of the law, you're guilty in the whole area of law. And that's one of the reasons why we as Christians must carry ourselves with a heart of redemptive compassion, where we are loving the broken people of the world, because we too have been broken. Many times we still have areas of brokenness, and God loves us anyway. He doesn't love us to leave us like that. He loves us so that he can redeem us, make us healthy and whole for the glory of God. One of the messages that I preach is that the scars that we carry are testimonies of God's ability to heal even the most painful hurts that this world has to offer. So I pray that when you show up to church on Sunday, that you will love much. You will love like a person who had a death sentence hanging over their head, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords said, I'm going to commute your death sentence, and I hereby sentence you to eternal life in my presence. Not only are you supposed to love God with all of your heart, but you're supposed to love him with all of your soul. The soul is also, it's the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so we'll kind of look at those two. We've got just a few minutes here. In assessing things as a pastor, I've pastored Merit Assembly of God for 31 plus years. And one of the things that always has been a little puzzling to me is why people don't come to some of the meetings that they should come. Like, one of the things we'll be addressing here in a few weeks is God Teach Us to Pray. You have a class on teaching to pray, and you'll get some people that will show up. You call a prayer meeting, and some of those people who wanted to learn how to pray won't show up to pray. intellectual capacity needs to manifest in physical obedience, but we are supposed to love the Lord with all of our soul, with all of our mind. So we're supposed to be growing intellectually in the things of God. We should understand God more as we go on than we do when we first begin. And so our love for God should be growing, and it should manifest in our applying ourselves, studying to show ourselves a workman approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. So we need to be loving the Lord with all of our mind. We need to be loving God with all of our will. There should be intentionality in the things that we do to grow in our relationship with God. It shouldn't be just about convenience. It shouldn't be just about when it's comfortable. It should be a committed, intentional relationship. There are things that I do. This radio program has a great deal of intentionality to it. So with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your will, and it also should involve all of our emotions. I dare say that every person who is listening to the sound of my voice, as well as every person not listening to the sound of my voice, has had an emotional reaction to a situation that was less than holy. Road rage is something that happens with a great deal of frequency in America right now. And I will tell you, the more that we get away from God, the more we are going to get away from a heart of love, and those emotional outbursts are going to manifest in a negative manner to a great degree. I believe that because Jesus does sit upon the throne of our hearts, He created us. He created us with a spirit. He created us with an intellect. He created us with will, but He also created our emotions. He created our emotions so that we could be moved emotionally as well as in the other areas of our life. Only we do that to the glory of God. So He would, you know, Paul would write this: the kingdom of God is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Some of the people that I know that are very tender emotionally are people who God has brought through some very difficult seasons, and they said, I love Him with my tears, I love Him with my laughter, I love Him with my peace, and I love Him with my joy. Love God the way He wants to be loved. We'll see
you
Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Waylon specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Waylon Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit waylonduff.kw.com. Realty.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.